Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, it's Denise Eckert from the Relaxation Lounge. And I love coming on here and interviewing different people so that they can share their techniques and their tips on how you can lower your stress. And today I've got Kendria, and her thing is she helps good teachers become great by bringing them from burnout to a balanced life. How important is that? Began her public speaking in 2013, and she's held numerous workshops for adults and students. And she helps teachers manage their classroom and their personal lives. And she's also this year just dropped her book, Teacher of the Year, which is an introduction to her Teach for Life mentor program, which helps revolutionize the world of burnout teachers. So welcome, Kendria. How are you today?
I am wonderful, Denise. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, what brought you down this path of helping teachers beat that burnout?
Well, basically, I was a survivor of burnout myself. Many people ask me how I ended up where I am now, and that's how it happened. It's happened because the public school system was so bad. It was just being run so poorly, and we were losing teachers like by the droves, and I was one of them. And the turnover rate from my school was extremely high, like 70% every year we were getting new teachers. And it started to take its toll on me eventually. Like year 13, 14, it started to take a toll on me. It started to affect my health, my mental state, my emotional state. I would come home, Denise, and would sit on my couch and be like, I don't even feel like eating today. You know, and I just was just exhausted. And, you know, most women can probably relate to just that level of exhaustion that you can't even articulate. And that was me. I was a walking zombie. I was, you know, a robot in my own life. And I didn't like that. I didn't like who I was. And I was who I was becoming. I was irritable. I was, you know, I wasn't getting enough sleep. My hair was falling out. And these were all the symptoms of stress. The stress was a byproduct of my job as a school teacher. I was taking it home with me every night. And that's the first thing you learn as a school teacher. Don't take it home with you. don't take those kids home with you. They're not your kids, you know. But as people as in a profession, like the hours, we take it personally. We want our kids to succeed. And when they fail, we take it personally. Like today, you know, I'm getting bad news about my program and I don't like it. So, but you know, you have to be able to separate that from your who you really are, and be able to put those things on your worry tree, I call it. Put it on your worry tree and leave it there. When I take my body off, my clothes off from school, it's almost like I'm taking off my problems too, and I leave it there. And I'll pick it up the next day. But right now, no. This is my personal time and my personal life. And your life matters. You can get another job, but you can't get another you. So it's your responsibility to take care of yourself. And that is how I ended up in the Middle East, because I wanted an easier road. And I knew it was a better way. I knew for a fact that the way that things were being run and managed in the educational system in America, there has to be something different. I should not have to be killing myself and working all these hours to teach kids. It shouldn't be this hard. And so I was determined to find another path, and I did.
Okay. Can you just walk us through some of the steps that you did take to reduce that burnout, you know, that exhaustion in your life?
Ooh, okay. So, when I moved here, of course, the lifestyle was different. Culture was different. It's always sunshiny over here in the Middle East. Matter of fact, it doesn't rain very much here. But I had brought some of those same problems and issues from the America and the States. I brought them here. So I did three things. When I realized that the problem was me, because I'm like, I'm still having heart palpitations, still having anxiety. I'm still, you know, can't sleep, still having issues with my skin and all that stuff. I was like, this is me. I have to change, right? I got to go in and unpack some stuff, get rid of some stuff, and take on some better things. And so I did three things. First one was to go see a psychiatrist. Now, I take my mental health very seriously, and I'm not ashamed of that at all. But I went to see a psychiatrist because I knew she could prescribe the medicine I needed. Because my anxiety was so high that I had the jitters. And I don't drink coffee.
but my hands would shake. That's how bad my anxiety was. And I was almost always at the tip of a panic attack. So I knew that she could prescribe something to lower those anxiety and anxiety and do something to chemically balance my life and my body and the inside from the inside out. Then I went to see a therapist. Now, I didn't tell anybody this. This was me coming here because I would be embarrassed to say I've come all the way over to this new place and I'm still having the same problem. So I think there's a saying that says something like, you know, changing locations doesn't change you. And it didn't. So I had to change. And I went to see a therapist because I wanted to figure out, where is all this anxiety come from? Why do I feel like I am not doing enough? Why do I feel like I'm not good enough? Why do I feel like I have to do something to be loved and do something to be accepted? So I got to the bottom of that and saw a therapist for about 6 months to a year. Then I confided in a friend that I was seeking therapy and that I was seeking help. And I was like, I knew she was a trained psychologist as well. And I was like, can I call you for free? Can I call you? I'm going to call you once a week just to check in and see how you're doing first off. But then I want to run some things past you. So I did those three things for about 18 months when I got here. No one knew. I think I told someone I was on antidepressants, but that was it. But no one knew. And so while I was going through that transformation, I started to get back in touch with me. Things that I like to do, want things that I wanted to be. And I started to write lists. And I'm a writer, so I would write things in my journal. And I would journal the things that I wanted to experience here and why I left. And I really started to get, you know, hone in on what the problem was. And at the heart of the problem, there were two things. I was lonely and I was a people pleaser. I wanted people to like me. I wanted people to like me. I wanted my kids to like me. I wanted the people at this school to like me. I wanted the people in this country to like me, all of that. But that was a lot of unnecessary pressure that I was putting on myself. And the loneliness part kind of took care of itself, because once I started to open up more, then people started to come into my life and I wasn't lonely anymore. The people pleasing part was the journey. And I write about it in the book. So I came up with six easy steps in the book. There's six chapters. On each step is a chapter about how you can maintain and try to get back into that place where, why are you working so much? Why do you even do what you do? Why did you start doing what you were doing? Where are your pain points? Your pain points is like, what is that thing that makes you that stresses you out the most? What are your triggers? Once you get to that, then there are simple things that you can do. It's like, of course, write down your issues. Write them down. I feel like writing is therapy. If there's something in the book that resonates with you, you can do one of the six, two of the six, four of the six. I did all six, all of them. And one of them was writing down my pain and writing down when I was stressed out and where it came from and tracing it back to its source and plucking it out and doing things differently. And the best thing I did that's in this book is I learned how to say no. No is a complete sentence. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I don't think I have time for that. No, I don't want to do it. And not even give an excuse. No, we need you to come in on Saturday. No, I don't do that. Why? I just don't. I don't work on Saturdays. I just don't do that. I used to do that back home. I'm not doing that here, you know? So saying no, there are some of the techniques, how to take care of yourself. Self-care has gotten a bad rap. And it's being associated with the wrong thing because they think self-care is just spas and manis and pedis. But self-care has to do with loving yourself so much that you put boundaries around your peace. And self-care comes from the inside out. It doesn't come from the outside in. I do the manis and pedis, of course, but that's just because, you know, I want to look good for me. I don't have to look good for anyone else. So that was helping my people-pleasing mantra that I got to do this to make them like me, and I got to do this so and work hard so they'll appreciate me. No, we're over that now. I'm over that.com. So the book just chronicles my journey, and it you might be able to get all six steps into your life, but even if it's just one or two steps that make a difference, write about it. Because in my book, there is a reflection part because I like to write. So every time you read something, you write down how that relates to you. So like, for example, chapter 2, start with the end in mind. Where do you want your career to go? I could not believe how many teachers, clients, people that I know personally that had no clue as to what that meant. They're just teachers. Well, I want to teach. Well, what do you want to teach? Why do you teach what you teach? Why do you want to teach what you teach? Where do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years in retirement? No one thinks about it. That can contribute to why you're frustrated by your career not being where you want it to be, because you don't know where you want it to go. you got to know where you're going to go. You got to know where you want to go because you have to have a map to get there. So if you don't have a map and you have a destination, then how do you know that you're off course, right? So these are just some of the steps. These are just some. It's a lot. It's a deep, deep dive into most of these steps. And I give, you know, really good details and also case studies. People that I know personally, people that I work with, and I change their names to protect the innocent, but still people I've known personally. Clients of mine, people I've worked with over the years, because I've been doing this for 13 years. This is just the first time I'm actually getting paid to do it. But I've been doing this mentoring, coaching, and helping other people for 13 years and speaking about it. Now it's just chronicled in a book that you can read about anytime you want.
That's amazing.
I hope that answers your question, Denise. I hope they got it.
Yeah. And you know what? When I was starting to do, you know, stress coaching, it was the same. It's like, you know, getting your clarity that mm-hmm. So you need to know where you want to go so you can get rid of all the other crap that's in the way. And that's decluttering, right?
Yeah. Decluttering our minds, decluttering our, getting our priorities straight. We heard that, right?
Yeah.
We've heard that, right? Get your priorities straight. And it's usually something negative, but no, really, seriously, get your priorities straight. Get all that stuff, that junk you're doing, figure out what's really important.
Yeah.
And don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait till you're in the hospital or you lose people or something like COVID happens and you start, you know, to really question the meaning of life. Do it now. Prioritize what's important now. One of the suggestions I also have in the book is to put yourself on the calendar, like literally put 10 minutes for yourself, 30 minutes for yourself, but also put your loved ones on there. You know, I was going like 8 months without speaking to anybody from home. It was a long, I would go months without speaking to people that I really, really love and care about and that care about me. But I was so, I got to work. And I forgot, you know, that there's people in the world that really depend on me, that really want me to succeed, that really can pour into me like I was pouring into other people. And here I am giving the best parts of myself to people who could care less about me. I need to save some of the good parts of who I am for those people that love me, that send me messages out of the blue, that say things like, oh, you're doing a podcast in 30 minutes. Good luck, Ken. Those people that matter to me and that I matter to them. Put those people in your calendar. Put those people in your calendar. Make 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours every week to speak to them, because I promise you it will give you life. It will rejuvenate your energy. It'll give you your purpose back. And those are the things that are the priorities. These people that call you in the middle of the night wanting something from you, they don't care about you. You know they don't. Because if you die tomorrow, they'll have somebody in your place the next day.
I love that. That's so true. And it's always like the squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? So the person that's the most demanding gets your attention, but they're not necessarily the person that you want to spend your attention on, right?
No. Yeah.
What did, with the people that you work with, what do you find their biggest obstacle? Just a quick break, because I need to share this with you. In the past, I had a lot of pain in my shoulder, my knees, my ankle, and I know it's from my background of playing baseball. I used to be a carpenter, from driving, and even working on my computer. I tried everything, and still, I'd be on the couch with my heating pad in pain. Well, lately a friend introduced me to a new product called NutraSwish. Things changed for me. I'm not kidding you, within days, no pain. And now I've been taking it for a few months, and what a difference. NutraSwish is all about glutathione. I didn't even know what glutathione was. Well, you know what? I sure do now. If you are experiencing pain, especially nerve damage, I encourage you to take a look. You can find out more in the show notes or go to www.therelaxationlounge.info, and there's a tab above that says pain. Back to the show.
The people that I work, my clients, people who are, that I come in contact with, used to be just teachers that would always come to my room before I was an actual coach, trainer, or whatever. They would just come to my room and say, I need to talk to you about something. Now it's, we need to book a call. So they're a client. They're a potential client or a client, right? The biggest issue, and I know people think that teachers leave the profession because they don't get paid enough. That's not it. They don't feel respected. They don't feel respected. They don't feel seen. They don't feel heard. They feel like they're cogs in a wheel. And even though they speak up sometimes, they don't feel like they're being heard. They don't feel like their position matters. They don't feel like you know, I'm talking to you about this, but if I try to talk to my boss, what's going to happen? And they don't feel like they have a voice. And I kept hearing this over and over and over again, and it got on my nerves, which is why I started the business. You know, I'm not like you, Kendra. I'm not like you. Let me sit down. Let me show you how. Get a pen and let me show you how you can be like me. Because you like this boldness that you think I have. I earned it. I earned it because I was a yes girl. I wouldn't say no. I would because I wanted everybody to like me. I didn't want to ruffle feathers. I'm over it. So let me show you how I did that. I put me first. Okay. I learned how to say no. Even in my workshops, we practice it. We role play it, all of it. I learned how to say no. I put boundaries up. And how you feel about those boundaries is not my business. These are boundaries that protect me in my space, in my head space, my emotional space. Well, how you feel about it is not really my business. I don't really care. Don't even care. As long as I'm respectful when I place these boundaries in place, we're good. So what you just go and deal with it on your own time. Thank you so much for sharing and bye. But I teach them that. I literally teach them that because they'll come with me with a list of problems. All right. And then I walk them through what to do with them. Okay. Try this, 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 and this, this, and this, and this. Then come back and we'll talk about it next week. Because I am shocked that teachers who are people who can get the microphone and say and teach all these kids these things can't go in their boss's office and say, I need Friday off because my kid has a soccer game. I know we have a meeting, but can I get Friday off? They're afraid to say that. And I'm shocked at that. I really am shocked. That's the biggest takeaway that I've had with helping teachers is that they don't feel like they have a voice. They don't feel like they're being heard in their space. And it's exactly what you said earlier, that the squeaky wheel gets the oil, but they don't want to squeak. Yeah. They don't want to squeak. I was like, I'm like, squeak, squeak, squeak. Let me show you how to squeak. Get in there. Get in there. My friend, one of my clients, Miss Davis. Miss Davis, they've put her with too many children, and she's so sweet. She is so sweet. So I said, Miss Davis, since you're not like me and you're sweet, go in there every single day. Every single day and tell them, hey, you know, she got 2 and 3 kids on my roster. You're supposed to take 9 of them off. Remember? You remember? I asked you last week. You didn't say anything. All right. All right. Well, we could give us some time. All right. And then come back the next day and say, all right, I gave you some time. That was yesterday now. Or when are you going to come in there and get those kids? So, and be sweet. You don't have to be mean. And I'm shocked at that. But that's mostly what I'm coaching them to do. Give them a voice. Go out and get with the job that they really, truly want. Sometimes I'm coaching them to transition to a job that they really, really want because they always ask me how I get here. I said, I wrote down what I wanted. I wrote down what kind of day I wanted to have. I wrote down what I wanted to teach all girls. I wrote down I wanted to teach math and science. I got it. You can do it. Let's go through it together.
Nice. And you know what? And teaching something that you love to teach makes a big difference than just teaching. Yeah,
it does. It absolutely does. Yeah, and they don't do that.
You do that passion. Like it's that passion, right?
Yeah.
So someone that's experiencing burnout right now as a teacher, or even someone in a corporate job, what's a recommendation you could give them? What's the first step that they can do?
Yeah, because burnout.
Buy your book.
Well, yes. Teachers, please go out and get my book. But yes, and you, it's audio too. You can hear my voice for 3 hours if you can stand it. Yeah. But I'm not oblivious to the fact that teachers are not the only one that's experienced burnout. And, you know, the great resignation that's hitting the news and that buzzword that's going around is not limited to education, apparently. It's a lot of people that have put in their notice and not come back, right? Mm-hmm. So my advice to anyone that's going through burnout is to stop looking. Listen, you're going to have to stop doing the things that are causing it. And you have to look at it. You really got to take some, I know I've said writing a lot, but you really got to take inventory of your life. There's books I can recommend, but there's one book I'm reading now called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Everybody's read it. I've read it twice. This is my third time. And he talks about how, you know, job-centered, family-centered, you know, me-centered. Where is this coming from? There's a place in your space where you're figuring out where this is coming from. You got to go and find out what is triggering you. What is the top priority? Because your burnout might be self-inflicted. It might be. It might not be the boss making you work all those hours. You might just be going to work every day because you're trying to avoid family life. Who knows? Right?
Or playing victim.
Yeah. It could be you. And I've run into some of my clients that are doing that. They're just like, who told you to go and do all those hours at work? No one made you do that. So now you're doing it. And yeah, don't make your kids hate your job.
Yeah.
That's my advice. Don't make your children and your spouse hate your job. That is your responsibility to figure out what to do to make your job either easier for you or find another one, because you can't get another family. Why would you do that? Why would you trade your family for your job? So my advice is not simple. It's actually not simple, because burnout is just as complicated as stress. It comes from all different directions, right? What stresses you out, Denise, might not stress me out at all. But my goal with people is to find out where the stress is coming from and what hole are you trying to fill. It's all connected to emotional needs. It's either emotional or a mental, some kind of mental block that you are experiencing that is causing you to do these extra things. And then you're putting this pressure on yourself. And then you're working all these hours because I got something to prove to these people that don't even matter. Because I don't want to be, you know, a loser. I don't want to be seen as a loser. Whatever it is that you're, that negative self-talk that's going on in your head. Burnout is so much more complicated than just I'm stressed. It's so much more complicated than that, because it comes from a place where over time you've overextended yourself. Mm-hmm. You've overstressed yourself in some area. And something always suffers because of it. It's usually someone, but it's something or someone that always suffers because of it. One of my clients said to me, my daughter, my six-year-old came to me and said, weekend, mom? And she was like, well, why? She's like, because that's the only time I get to see you. I said, that's a cry for help. You need to get on that right away. That's a cry for help. That's right there. Right there is, this is your chance. This is a chance for you to pivot and take another road. If you don't do it, that child will never forget it. She will never forget it, because she came to you and she's telling you, hey, mom, I like you. I need you in my life. Pay attention to me. She's telling you this. So if you don't pay attention to what she's saying and you ignore it and just keep working, she won't forget it. And that is what made the difference with her change. That's what made her breakthrough. And she had me to do it. I was there. I was happy to be there to do it. But that's what I do. I do. I just bring things to light. I cut on the light sometimes. I pick up the rug and we dig a little bit. And then we figure out what it is, what's going on. Now, some of these issues are so deep that you can, I can only help you so far, but I can definitely refer you to a professional, a mental health professional, to get to the root of some of those things. But you got to get to it. Can't fix what you don't face.
Yeah.
Don't face it.
A lot of people do have a problem, especially with stress, asking for help, because sometimes we feel that we failed, that we couldn't be the superwoman, or that, you know, it's almost a failure, that we feel that we've got to step back, that we've got to take things off our plate, because no, we can't do it all. And I mean, I know growing up it was superwoman, you're amazing if you're superwoman. Well, that is so wrong.
It's BS too.
Yeah.
BS too. She probably had cramps like the rest of us. She probably didn't feel like saving everybody. I always tell that story too. I'm like, you know, Superwoman, just Wonder Woman might've got on her nerves every once in a while, because she's Wonder Woman. Everybody wanted a piece of her, right? So you, if it's okay, it's okay if these kids get on your nerves and your husband gets on your nerves. Admit it. I would, but you know, people have a hard time with that because they don't want it. They feel like it's an admission of guilt or admission of weakness. And women are my culprits, and women are my clients. But I have had two male clients before. But women mostly take on all of this guilt. They're harboring all of this guilt about child, some things that happened in childhood. Then they bring it to their job, and then, you know, the job doesn't do for them what they thought it would do, or fulfill that need that they need, that they have. And then they come to me when it's like, I don't know if I can take it another day. Well, let's go back to the beginning. When did it start? Right.
Yeah.
So everything is unpacked with me. Everything is unpacked. That's my job. If I'm coming into your life, you've asked me to come into your life, then I'm going to unpack some of these things that's core. And then with the book is my prescription. That's just this prescription. Right. And if anything in here resonates with teachers, then they'll call me. They usually do. That's the intro. The book is the hook. They call me. My phone number's in there and my email. They will call me and say, I need your help. Now, you know what's interesting, Denise? It's something you just said. They call me like this. Hey, I need your help with the. I'm like, I don't know your principal. I don't know anybody about your school. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me, because they don't want the principal and their colleagues to know that they're struggling. So they're like, I need your help with this. She literally called me like this. And she was like, I need, you know, I'm having these nightmares because I'm not sleeping at night. Okay, yeah. Your nightmares are probably a manifestation of some type of stress that's going on in your head. And they're like ashamed of it. I'm like, why are you sneaking around? I'm not a drug dealer. What are you doing? But they don't want to admit that they're going to talk to somebody about their stress issues. Fascinating. It's just fascinating. I've learned so much. I'm not a psychologist, though, but I'm learning so much from my clients, and they tickle me with that. But I don't know anything about your school. I'm not going to go tell your principal what you told me. She's a bee. Okay. That's what you think.
So we're going to start to wrap this up. Are there any special words you'd like to share with the audience today?
Oh, wow. Okay. So many. We are pilgrims in this life, ladies and gentlemen. We're just passing through. Our lives are like the McDonald's rib sandwich. You remember that McRib sandwich at McDonald's? Here for a limited time only. That's what your life is. If I were you, I would not spend not one minute doing something I didn't like, being something that I didn't like, being with someone I did not like. I love me. I'm in love with this girl that you see in front of you. But that took time. And it took a lot of stress that I put on myself that I took off year by year by year to get to a point where I'm like, listen, life is short. A job is a job. And that's great. You should love what you do. I do. I'm going back tomorrow. I love it. I love what I do. Those girls are waiting on me when I get there. But if it ever gets to a point where it's between the job and me, it's me. It's always going to be me. It's not even going to be me. It's not even a question of whether or not I come first. I come first. Teaching is a very giving profession. Very giving profession. So you're constantly giving your essence to other people, but you can't give from an empty cup. Absolutely. Who's filling your cup?
Absolutely. Now, I understand you have a bit of a discount for us.
Oh, the people that send me, that find me on the, I think you have all of my information, right? So if they go and they buy a book, they'll get two. They'll either get the audio book or they'll get the ebook. They'll get one or the other. Whatever they buy, they're going to get two of them. And I'll have all they need to do is send me an email saying, hey, I want both. And the reason why you should get both is because I don't like to take books on the road. I have to listen to the books on the audio, but I am really lazy. So I do the book and I do the ebook. I've always done that. I've always done the ebook and the audio. So I'm giving away the thing that I like. So if you want both, just buy one. Go get my audio today and then you'll get the ebook. Go get the ebook and you get the audio.
Awesome.
BOGO. On me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And yeah, I mean, such amazing information because mm-hmm. we need to start putting ourselves first. Protecting ourselves with boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that is so important in life.
Exactly. No problem, Denise. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.